Jose, we welcome you this morning.
Thank you.
May God's Spirit abide with you as you bring us God's holy word.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you. It is a tradition for me to sing before I preach, and you may find a song I am going to sing this morning on the back of your bulletin, if I'm not wrong. It's in French, which is my first language, and you find words in English. So this is a time for you to take some French class free of charge. Il n'est pas possible de se taire, pas du tout, Seigneur, pas du tout. L'exploitation de l'homme est par l'homme dure encore et se poursuit. Non et non, pas du tout, absolument non et non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent, il n'est pas possible de se taire. La sécurité de l'homme n'est plus, Seigneur, et n'est plus. Chacun est peur assurée à son hôte, car la justice n'est plus. Non et non, pas du tout, absolument non et non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent, il n'est pas possible de se taire. À toi, Dieu, nous cherchons un refuge. Il est temps, Seigneur, soutiens-nous. Car les méchants qui dirigent ce monde veulent bien nous écraser. Non et non, pas du tout, absolument non et non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent, il n'est pas possible de se taire. Would you play the preacher just for 1 second? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Please tell me. Where are you from? That's actually the title for the sermon this morning. They forgot to mention it in the bulletin, so it's, where are you from? When was the last time somebody ever asked you, where are you from? Or better, where are you really from? A year ago? 3? Couple months ago? You don't remember? Well, maybe. But depending on where you are, who you're talking to, and how the conversation started before it goes down to where are you from, that question carries a lot of weight. Some of us are so blessed that we get asked that question at least 4 times a week, or even more, depending on how many people you happen to encounter. And every time I get asked that question, it sounds as if I was being reminded of the fact that I either don't belong to here, or I don't look like one of you, or this is not home for me, or I don't speak like you do. Speaking of that, I remember when I freshly came from the Congo here in 2011, I did happen to work at a daycare. And one day as I was reading for 5 or 6 year old kids, one of them looked really, really confused when I was reading. And I asked her, her name was Egypt. I was like, Egypt, you look so confused, girl. What's going on? She looked at me and honestly told me, Mr. Oze, you speak so funny. I told myself, okay, Lord, please help me here because something is about to happen. I looked at her and I told her, well, I must have heard that before, and I know what you're talking about. But guess what? You speak funny, too. Just because you don't speak like I do doesn't mean I speak funny and you don't. And every time you hear that, you tell yourself, no matter how well I am working on my accent, it still sounds like you are different. Long story short, yes, I am an immigrant. The first time I preached this sermon at Prairie Street Church, my church, was on the Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday. And the theme that was chosen for that Sunday was Justice on the Journey, Migration, and the Anabaptist Mennonite Story. There is no way we can talk about Anabaptists or Mennonites without talking about immigration. In fact, if we have Anabaptists today in North America, United States, if we have Anabaptists in this room right here, right now, it's all because back in years, there was some form of immigration, and we end up where we are now. Anabaptists value immigration for two main reasons. The first being, as I just said, they are themselves the product of immigration. When this movement started back in the 16th century in Europe, people didn't agree with Anabaptists. They didn't agree with the way they defined this notion of citizenship. People didn't agree with the Anabaptist theology. Therefore, they persecuted them. And they, Anabaptists, chose to go from one place to the other seeking for refuge because they were not always welcome. That was the first reason. The second reason Anabaptists value this notion of immigration is because they believe in the Bible. And for those who have read the Bible long enough, you may agree with me that God shows such a deep concern over three groups of people. God loves everybody, yes. But when you read the Bible, you see how he shows such a deep concern over three groups of people. Here they are you ready? God cares deeply about widows. God shows deep concern over orphans, and moreover, God cares so much about strangers. And now, speaking of strangers, you are free to use whatever term, you know, fits in your vocabulary. Stranger, alien, immigrant, foreigner. But the idea is people who went from somewhere, sometime in the past, and end up being among us. Those are people that we call strangers. And immigration is all about them. Immigration is one of the most hot topics in our country, here, United States. We don't spend a day without talking about immigration. Politicians talk about immigration. They get divided when it comes to define what are good rules we need to come up with when it comes to immigration. Social workers talk about immigration. I myself am completing a degree at Goshen College in social work. So immigration is one of the topics that I look at closely to see what is happening. Churches talk about immigration. Everybody talks about immigration. At the end of last year, if you remember, our nation went through one of the longest partial government shutdown because the Congress and the President couldn't agree on how much they had to spend on the construction, the building of a wall on our southern border. The reason they come up with when it comes to this border is that they think that's one way or a way, the way to fight against illegal immigration or drug trafficking. This debate has been going on. Later on, the government was reopened, but something else came, which was the president declaring a national emergency. And after the national emergency, last week, a new term came in, merit-based immigration, which means who do we have to welcome here and who do we need to say, no, you stay there. So they need to merit that as a favor. After his trip from Mexico, the Pope was asked a question, what do you think about the wall? His answer was, a person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian. In other words, the Pope meant we need more bridges than walls. But now let's go back to where we started in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34. God is telling children of Israel, saying, do not mistreat foreigners who live among you. Treat them just like your native born. Love them, because you too were strangers, foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That text is not talking about those who are on the other side of the wall working hard to come in. No, those two verses are talking about those who were lucky enough to make it in. They live among us. They work with us. They go to school with us. Their children go to school with your children, with your grandchildren. They worship with you. Some of them are sitting in this room right here with you, by your side. In fact, one of them is talking to you right now. And the question is, how do you treat them? One day I was eating lunch with a friend. See, there is a Subway place by the Mennonite Seminary on Benham Avenue. As we were eating, I heard, you know, from the back, this somebody talking, yelling to somebody else. And I turned to see what was happening. Yes, he was, you know, a young man, American, I assume, talking to this other person, a foreigner. You could tell just by the look, because they had some religious garments and things. You could really tell they're not from here. And this young man was yelling and saying things that I would not say here, things that you would imagine a person would tell this other person, all because they look different or they are a foreigner. And I asked my friend whom I was eating lunch with, I said, bro, do you mind if I go and punch that guy in the face? I don't look like I would do it, do I? He told me, no, don't do that. It's not appropriate. Do you really see Jesus punching somebody in the face? I said, I guess it depends on which Jesus you worship, because my Jesus wouldn't be here witnessing this and him choosing not to do something. Unfortunately, that is what we do most of the time. The reason I wanted to go punch that guy in the face was because I was angry. Not angry because this young man was being bully, nasty on this other stranger. No, because as a foreigner, as a stranger myself, I do expect to be bullied. I know it's not right to have that, you know, thought, but I do expect to be bullied. I do expect to be threatened one way or the other, or because I look different. But if there is one thing I would not understand, is the silence of those who are there when I am being bullied and threatened. What would you do if you happen to be in that situation? Most of the time, what we do is, I'm too nice to get involved in that conflict. I would just walk away, go home, and tell others how bad we have become as a nation. Blame somebody else. You know who that is. But the question is, you were there when this was happening. What did you do? I don't always watch TV, but, you know, like 3 times a week would be enough. And on my TV, I most of the time watch either YouTube or Netflix. I don't have cable. And one day as I was home, by the way, my TV is smart. I have a smart TV. And as I was, you know, playing with the remote playing with my smart TV, I found out that there was a way for me to watch ABC even without cable. Okay, I have my Roku, I have my smart TV, and I can watch ABC. Yeah, let's do it. And what ABC was showing me that day was a program they call What Would You Do? And what they showed on that program that night was they choose people and they give them roles. Okay, well, you play this role, you play this role, you do this, you do that. And you do that in the public, and we see how people react to whatever you guys are doing. So that's the role they give to people. And in this case, they chose a woman and gave her a hijab. You know what a hijab is? So hijab is like, you know, a head covering for women in Muslim countries. And this woman had a car she pulled over with a flat tire. And as she was working to fix her tire, you're not going to count how many cars just drove by as if nothing was happening until somebody who came and started by, he greeted her, "Assalamu alaikum." And she responded, "Alaikum assalam." And she was like, everybody's just driving by. Nobody seems to care. And here you are. You want to help me. Why do you think you need to help me? What's going on? Who are you? And he told her, well, you know what? Just by the look, you are a woman. You have a hijab with a flat tire. Baby, listen, nobody's going to help you. But I feel concerned, and I think I need to come and help you. And as he was helping this lady, you know, all the camera came and like, well, thank you for doing this, but actually she's not really what you think she is. We're just playing to see how people would react. Now my question to you friends here at Assembly, do you only help people who look like you do? Do you only help people who speak your language, or who speak like you do, or do you only help people because you feel related with them? How do you treat those people that we call strangers, aliens, foreigners, immigrants? How do you treat them? Jesus, before he ended his ministry on earth, didn't want to forget about this category of people called foreigners, immigrants. In Matthew 25 that we just read, we see how he mentioned them saying, I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked. You clothed me. I was in jail, hospital, prison. You came to see me. Here is now a seat in my Father's kingdom. Come and be with me. That's what the kingdom of Jesus is all about. Helping those who are vulnerable. In this case, we are talking about strangers. What do you do on holidays when you know that in your church or at work or wherever you know of somebody who may need to be with you because they are far away from home and maybe they need to be with people? Do you only surround yourself with your family members, or you think of this other person whom you may have join you? I'm not going to count how many times I spend holidays all alone in my room because I am alone. Or unless I am working that holiday, then I be at work with, you know, spend time with residents. Otherwise, I spend all my holidays alone. And yet, I live among you. Would it really hurt somebody in your family if you think of inviting a friend, a foreigner, a stranger to join your circle, your family on holidays? Jesus is inviting us this morning to join in this ministry of being the voice of those who are voiceless, to defend those who are defenseless, to empower those who feel powerless among us. The day you do that, Jesus will say, amen. Finally, I have somebody in my army ready to do the right thing. And in the case of the example I just gave of me and my friend at this subway place, what you would do at least, if you don't want to, you know, get some nasty words from that foolish person, at least would you go to this other person who's being bullied, threatened, and tell them how much you appreciate them being among us, how much you love them, how much you care about them being among us. I'll tell you, everything you hear on the media isn't always right when it comes to how they label foreigners or strangers. I work at Greencroft. I'm not going to tell you how many times I see those foreigners work hard to make your loved ones happy. And yet, when you turn on the media, what you learn is all, they come to steal our jobs. They are rapers. They do this, they do that, that, and that, and that, and that. Where do you stand on this debate? Do you stand by CNN? Do you stand by Fox News? Where in this debate of how we treat foreigners do you stand? I hope you stand by Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34, saying, do not mistreat foreigners. In other words, if you don't mistreat them, treat them fairly, treat them well, make them feel loved. Treat them just your own native born, because you too were a foreigner. And that's right. We all came from somewhere. I was told that you guys care so much about time. I shouldn't be long. I guess I would end my sermon there. And if you did enjoy this sermon, thank you again for those who invited me. I'd be glad to come again. But if you didn't enjoy my sermon, please invite me again anyway. I'll do better the next time.